But my job as a pastor of this church is to teach you principles from God's Word about giving and about our tithes and offerings. You'll have to judge my motives for doing that. I once talked to a man who said one of the greatest joys he had concerning his Christian life was in giving to the Lord. He said he had learned the principles of giving and it had changed his life. And it had brought him closer to the Lord. I have the same testimony that years ago we addressed because a pastor preached a message on giving. I had never really thought about it that much. We gave a certain amount of money. I don't even know what we were giving back then. But we were giving, but we didn't have any systematic way of doing it. And we really weren't following any biblical guidelines about giving. We just gave what we thought maybe we wanted to that Sunday, or look in our wallet and you open it up and that's what you give, you know, a portion of that. But we need to understand that there are principles in God's Word concerning giving. It is a vital part of worship. That's why we take an offering in our worship service. Because there are several things that we do here. One of the things we do, we assemble ourselves together in the name of the Lord. That's worship. We come here to acknowledge Him. Well, another thing we do in our worship is to offer thanksgiving. Another thing we do in our worship is to pray and intercede for others and for each other. Another thing in worship that we do is in our tithes and offerings, which shows our thanksgiving to the Lord. And it is to be done in a worship service is to be a reverent time. It is a time in which we are addressing God. It's a quiet time when we are able to get away from the world for a few minutes. And we're able to concentrate on biblical principles and the things that God would want us to know in our lives. And we know that when the Word of God is preached, that it is the Holy Spirit of God that is working in your heart, helping you to understand the truth and principles that are presented in His Word. And that's what really is a paramount for the preacher to understand, that he presents not his opinions, not his own ideas, not his own message, not his own agenda, but to preach God's Word and to preach the whole counsel of God's Word. So pastors will do one of the greatest acts of ministry that they can do in their lives is leading their congregation to understand the truth of God's Word concerning worship, thanksgiving, and stewardship of our time and money. And that is a word that the Bible uses, stewardship. It's not a word we use very much anymore, the word steward. But a steward is somebody who is in charge of somebody else's wealth or somebody else's money or what belongs to somebody else. And the greatest thing that will happen in your life when you begin to realize that everything you are and everything you have belongs to God and it's given to you by God and that you are to be good stewards of it. That means we are to take care of it and use it as God would direct us to. So it's my desire, and I believe God has led me to do this and to preach on these truths. And I don't do so very often. I don't think I've preached a message in over a year on giving. So I think I have a responsibility, and I know I do. And so I hope that this morning that the message would be received as coming from God, because it's God's Word. I'm just an instrument by which God uses to verbalize it and to present it to us. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, he was talking about the Apostle Paul, talking about himself. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. So I challenge each of us here this morning to study both the Old and the New Testaments to see how we can worship God and how God would teach us the principles of giving. Because it's a vital and necessary part of our lives. It's more than just supporting this church and the things that it does. And its ministers. It's much more than that. There's two sides of it. There's the side of the giver, in which God recognizes and blesses the obedience and the heart that gives and thanks the Lord for what they are given. And they want to express that. And one of the best ways we can do it is in our giving. The other side of it is that the work of the Lord is carried on financially. And we know that this building is warm. We had to pay for the natural gas that run those heaters that are back here in this room. And so it takes care of the building. It takes care of buying the literature, the lights that are on, and all these kind of things that are involved with just carrying on the ministry and bringing people together and letting us assemble in a comfortable way. And you know what? I'm thankful. I have been in some places, and we've had services over the years in all kinds of places. You wouldn't believe. And that's one of the problems that church planters have is that many times the buildings that are available to them are not the most advantageous. You know, I've actually had to go in and my wife on Saturday night and go in and clean up after a bunch of people have been drinking alcohol, all kinds of things, to have a service. And we've had to clean up after people and so forth, so that the church would be, the next morning, the building that we were renting, and would be clean and would be a place that we could worship the Lord and honor Him. So, now, many misquote 1 Timothy chapter 10. If you'll turn with me there, 1 Timothy chapter 10 and verse 6. And I want you, as we go through this, to turn in your Bibles. And I'm not going to say we're going to finish the message this morning, but we're going to be teaching a series of messages. So I won't bore you with it. I won't ride a hobby horse on this, but I do want to present these things to you. So it's necessary that we cover them. I'll try to make it so that it's not redundant and so it's not boring to you. But if you love the Lord and you're interested in receiving and understanding the principles of God, that'll be a great blessing in your life. Listen intently. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now, many people say, money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. You notice the word love? It is the love of money. It is the love of worldliness, of the things that money buys. In other words, it is placing one's agenda, one's desires and so forth to accumulating worldly things, temporal things. That means things that pass away. And doing that, placing it first and over what God would have us to do. The Bible says in Psalms, David said this. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. He said, but I've never seen the righteous man's children begging bread. Now, a man who is a righteous man is one who gives and who gives his life to the Lord. So giving and our money, and that's what we're talking about this morning, is just part of our general stewardship of our very lives to the Lord. It's just a part of it. It's not the single most important thing, but it is important. And it can be a thermometer. It can tell us spiritually where we are in our lives based upon the amount of money and our attitude toward it. And folks, it's what comes out of the heart, as the Bible, and we shall see. It is that we give from our hearts. And it is our attitude in giving that God honors, not the amount. Well, sometimes the amount, though, is reflective of our attitude. And so we have to understand that also. By the way, did you know that each of the Ten Commandments can be broken because of money, the love of money? Some are looking for pleasures and they find sorrow and pain in this world. All things in how Christians use their money to give to the Lord can be like the thermometers, I said, to indicate how much members are obedient to the Lord, how faithful they are, how much they love the Lord. Regular people ask, what does the Bible say? How much is a tithe? Do Christians tithe? Are we supposed to tithe? How should I give? Does one give on the gross or the net? These are questions that many times people are asking about giving. And it's a good thing to be asking questions like this, and hopefully through this series of messages you'll get the answers that you need, that God gives us. years ago, shortly after I began to preach. I generally accepted what I was taught, but I had not searched the scriptures for myself. And so I did what I was taught to do, and what our pastor, the pastor of the churches, had told us to do. I later found out that there was much more involved than what I was being taught. I have found that many Christians are not well-rounded spiritually, and one of the reasons is that they're not handling their money properly. Now, that also can be opposite. A person cannot handle money properly, it is reflective of their obedience. And so one rides on the back of the other. Some don't know how to give because they're disobedient. We have to say that, don't we? Some do not know honestly what the Bible teaches about giving. Satan proposes to defeat a Christian in this area, and he's very successful in doing that. Now, you and I also know that there are many myths out there, many false teachings concerning money. Let me tell you where you don't go to get the biblical teachings of money. You don't go to your radio, nor do you go to your television. But if you go to your radio and television and listen to those evangelists, you know what my rabbit ears mean? That's a question about, I'm using that term generally, but I don't really understand it to mean what I'm using it for. They're trying to con people out of their money. And if they're going to send you a little thing, a little oil in the mail, or they're going to do this, and if you'll send, you know, you hear them hawking their wares, which is healing. You know, if you'll send us some certain amount of money, we'll pray over this, and you'll be healed. I have documented many things on those guys. One of them was this guy, Robert Tilton. He was one of the worst, and there's literally dozens of them out there. And he was telling people, you send me that money, you know, and you know, I know there's somebody out there that can give $1,000. There's somebody that can give $10,000. And they were actually telling you to go out and borrow the money and send it to them. And send your prayer request in it, and we'll pray over that thing, you know. And yet, Barbara Walters did an investigation of that, and I've got the tapes in my library that I recorded it, where the programs that she had. And out behind the ministry, the revenue again, was a dumpster, and it was literally full of these pieces of paper. And so she asked the people that were running this thing, when did they pray over it? And they didn't. It was nothing but a scam. And he was proven to be a scam. And I can name you one after another. And by the way, there's bunches of them on the television. And they're out to get your money. And I'll tell you something. God's way, and by the way, if people understood God's principle of giving, those men would dry up and go away. And they'd quit presenting their false gospel. Because God says that his tithes and his offerings are to be brought into his church, his local congregation. And if it is a ministry, that supposedly a ministry that is outside the responsibility and the overseeing of a local church, you don't give your money to it. In other words, this is not Calvary Baptist Church, Inc., or Cooper Abrams, Inc. It's Calvary Baptist Church, period. And so, but yet, thousands and thousands of people send their money in every week, hoping they're going to get a miracle. Many of them are destitute. Many of them are in dire circumstances because of health and finances and all kinds of things. And they're they turn on television looking to hear something from God, and what does the devil do? He presents one of these guys. And so they send in the money, and it's like blowing it to the wind. And many of them have to borrow the money. You wonder how many widows take part of what they have that they could be feeding the children and their families with and send them to those guys. And what do they do with it? They buy big houses and Cadillacs and Mercedes and all these kind of things and live high on the hog. I could tell you story after story after story. I personally know about how these guys live. So, that's a problem also. Now, what I'm doing is giving you an introduction to this, and I'm trying to dispel some of the problems and to show you some of them so that we can dispel these problems and we can get all that out of the way so we can look purely at God's Word and know what He says to do. Satan will work in every way as possible trying to teach you as a Christian. And that's one of the ways he will use, is your money and your finances. And let me say this right now before we go any further. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how rich or poor you are. You can give a tithe and an offering unto the Lord. And it will be accepted by God as if you were poor and you gave a small amount. If you give that from a heart and from an attitude of thanksgiving, it will be the same as some millionaire giving $1 million. The amount is not important to God. It is the heart that is important. And while we give, I've had people say, well, I can't give because I don't have enough to give. Wrong. That's a myth. Don't let the devil defeat you in that. You give out of a loving and kind heart, loving God's work and loving Him and wanting to thank you. And God will honor that. And let me tell you something. He will bless that. And we've got example after example after example in God's Word that teaches those very things. So we're going to be looking at several things this morning. We're going to look about how you earn it, how you feel about it, how you spend it, how you give it, and how you determine the amount. How should a Christian feel about money? Think about that. How should you feel about money? You ever thought about that? Well, most of us say, well, I sure would like to have some more. I think all of us feel that way. And surely, we feel like if we had more money, things would be better in our lives than always. And that's normal. We think like that. And money can, in many ways, alleviate a lot of problems that we have in our lives. But it is not the answer. It is not the answer. Many times, the more money we have, the worse our problems get. First, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, as we've already looked at this morning, the Bible says what? We are not to love it. Don't trust it. To trust money more than God is idolatry. Do you understand that? If you put anything before God, that's idolatry. There are some people who trust in their money, in their bank account, in their IRAs, in their annuities, and these kind of things. Some of them are trusting, by the way, we're living in a society today in our government that are looking to the government and all of these entitlement programs. And that's where they're looking to. That's what they're trusting. And that's why they just voted in the way they did in the past election. They didn't want to lose those entitlements and the money they were given. You see, when you're a Christian, you begin to understand many things about what's going on in our world today. And that's one of the things that's happening. People voted because they voted their pocketbooks. They didn't vote on morals and principles because if they'd have done that, well, you know what would have happened. The Bible says don't seek to be rich. If you'll just go up the one verse above, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many into foolishness or foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So it says don't be seeking after wealth, that you may take that wealth and use it for foolishness and upon your sinful lust. By the way, they just had a lottery. And I forgot, was it just one guy won it all? I forgot. How many? Two won it all? So they split it. Do you understand? Do this. Okay, I'll let you do this. Go on the internet and type lottery and put winners. And look at how many websites are revealing what happened to those who won the lottery. Do you understand? Many of them are in jail. Many of them are broke. Many of them are destitute. Had millions and millions of dollars. Did it help them? Is this verse true or not? It's true. God says it here. And to foolish and hurtful lust. Many of them in jail. There was a lady in Florida. She's on trial right now because she murdered this man who won, I think, $33 million. Says he befriended him and so forth and eventually murdered him to get his money. She's on trial right now in Florida for that. So it may not be the best thing in the world to happen to you to win all that money. So he don't seek to be rich. Jesus said, and this is in Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 and 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You say, what in the world does that mean? Why does God, did the Lord say that? The reason is that people put their trust and they make an idol out of their money, and that means they neglect God and won't have Him in their life. They're not interested in God. They're trusting their money to provide for them, to give them the desires and pleasures and so forth that they want. They want the lust of their lives and so forth. They see as being given to them by the amount of money they have. And so they're not interested in God. They're not interested in their soul. They're having a big time spending their money. And here's the problem. With that money comes all kinds of problems with it. All kinds of problems. And the problems are not because of money itself. You remember what 1 Timothy 10 said? It's the love of money. The worldliness of it that caused them to do that. Could a man win the lottery and live a good and decent life? Certainly he could. How many of them do? Not many. There was one of them who gave all kinds of money to churches and to charities and all this kind of stuff. He was being a philanthropist and so on. And after a while, he fell into to disdain with everything. He just got to the place that he was disgusted with people and everything around him. And he went into being a recluse and staying by himself, and he just turned the world off and just basically lives a terrible life now. He don't trust anybody, doesn't like anybody. He's withdrawn into himself. He's mentally not well off. Why? Because he didn't understand money and he misused it. We are to seek the Lord in money. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. So what is he talking about, all these things? Seek first God's righteousness, being right with God. And if you are right with God, all these other things will be added. What are these other things? That's the things that we need in our life, the necessities. God has great provision for those who are faithful to Him. And you think about it. Would God bless somebody abundantly who was not being obedient to Him, not living by the principles of God's Word? If He did that, what He would be doing, He would be blessing them and their disobedience. And that would be detrimental to them. So God's not going to do that. He does not do that. But He will bless the man, the woman, the boy, and the girl, too. And I tell you, parents, you teach your children at the youngest of age, you give them some money so they can put it in the offering. That teaches them to give every Sunday. And you know what? When they get older, they'll carry on that. They'll understand it. It'll just be a part of their lives, is giving to the Lord. And they'll be greatly blessed for it. You want to give something to your children that's lasting? Give them the principles of giving and of thanksgiving and teach it to them at a young age. It's part of teaching a child and bringing him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I never will forget my daddy every Sunday after my dad got saved. And we had five children. And so then he had to have a pocket full of change. So he'd reach down in the pocket and he'd go around and give all of us a nickel or a dime or something, you know, and whatever he had. And he would give the money to all of us, and we would give it in Sunday school and to the offering. I learned that at a very young age. And that's good. My daddy was doing what was right. So we should understand that riches is not the solution to our problem. Many times, and you've heard me say this many times we think we've got problems, and many times our problems involve money, don't we? Many times we're overwhelmed with money. We're not making enough money at work, and all kinds of reasons that we are having problems and so forth. And we think that money would help. And it would, in many cases, it would help us if we had more money. I never will forget when I worked the first job I had. I made $45 a week. Whoop-dee-doo. And I got a nickel an hour raise. And I was so glad. And I had to go on midnight shift to get that nickel an hour. That was not good. But you know what? And I thought about it. I knew some people who made $75 and $100 a month. I mean a week. And I thought about that thing. I said, you know what? Boy, if I just made $100, what I could do with that? Boy, I'd be rich. You just think about that. That wasn't that. Finally, I did. When I went in service, by the way, I made $93 a month. I went in as an E1. We should also be concerned about how we get our money. How do you get your money? You don't steal it. Now, I think all of us know that. The Ten Commandments tell us that we're not to steal. Thou shalt not steal. But do you understand that we live in a society of people who are thieves? You don't think that the society is you're getting cheated, I guarantee you. And I know this because I've been in business. I understand it. And one of the reasons I lost the job, I've been fired one time in my life. And the reason I was fired because I would not steal. And this guy I worked for was stealing from people. And he wanted me to be a party to it, and I flat refused. And it just irritated him to no end, and finally, he fired me. Not for not stealing, by the way. He trumped up all kinds of charges for it. And I carried it to the Employment Security Commission in Virginia. And they had a trial, and they found me completely, and they completely exonerated me from being fired. And I drew unemployment for 4 days. That's how long I was out of work. I immediately got a job. Why do you think I got a job in 4 days? Because I did what was right. God was blessing. And we always had money and food on our table. So stealing it, you can get by borrowing and not paying it back. You know, it's wicked to borrow money and don't pay it back. That's stealing. To get somebody to do a service for you and don't pay them. That's stealing. I never will forget my brother. My brother worked really hard to build a business in Rapids, North Carolina. He had a good business going. He started letting people have credit. And I was down there talking about it, and he was telling me how much money people owed him. And I told him, I said, Keith, do you understand that when that guy walks in that door and asks you to do work for him, and he knows he's not going to pay you, he's the same kind of guy as who walk in there with a shotgun aiming at you and say, give me your money. Both of them are thieves. You need to look at them like that. You need to understand it. And I said, you need to stop this credit business. By the way, he finally went bankrupt, lost everything he had. Lost his house, his car, he had a little boat. Everything he had he lost. Because of people stealing from him by him doing work for him and not paying. My other brother, the same thing. He did the same thing. By the way, both of my brothers now would never go in business for themselves. And they don't. They work for other people. And that's the reason why. So, it's no scripture necessary. The principle is this. Don't steal. And that includes gambling, which is an appeal to chance. Or that's not trusting the Lord, is it? It's gambling. And it's incompatible with the sovereignty of God and of God blessing you in your life. It's taking money from others that you didn't earn. So how are you to get it? You're to work for it. That's the way God says to do it. 6 days shall thou work, and on the seventh day rest. Let him not steal, but labor. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11. Tell us that we are to work for what we get and what we earn. That's the honorable way to get what we do. To give people an honest day's work for an honest dollar. Even if even if they're not paying us a proper wage. We work as unto the Lord. Now that's hard to understand, because who pays you? That's who you're getting your money from. And if he's not paying you adequately enough for the job that you're doing and so forth, many people say, well, that gives me a right to slough on the job and to do these kind of things. No, it doesn't. Because God tells us that we are to honor the Lord in everything we do, and we are to work and do everything we do as unto the Lord. So if I'm working as unto the Lord, guess what? God will bless that. And in spite of an employer who is not treating you right, or actually taking money from you, not paying you adequately, God will still bless you. And you say, you really believe that? I absolutely believe it. 100,000% I believe it. Because the Christian is not dependent on the world. If we are obedient to the Lord, we are dependent upon God and His provision for us. And it is a matter of our trusting and putting our trust in Him that He blesses and He honors. And no matter what our financial situation, whether it's good or bad, we need to understand that all that we have, whatever it might be, comes from God. You've heard this said 100 times or more. It's not how much you have, but it's how you're thankful for it. All of us can thank God for something within our lives. And we're all breathing air. We all have food. We're able to eat. We may not be eating porterhouse steaks every day, but we can be thankful for what God gives us. And so if you are thankful for that, whether it be good or bad in our lives, and whether it be great or small, if we are thankful to God for it, then God will bless us for it. So, the good way is to work for it. Did you understand, and I'm going to preach a message probably after the first of the year, and when you hear the message, you'll know what I'm talking about, but the word is based upon a Greek word called protempo. And the word actually is translated brought, or supported, or taken care of. And by the way, that is the word that God used and gives to a local church and how they are to support missionaries and support evangelism in the work of a local church. And you'll learn more about that as we preach a message on that. Often people say, well, I can't give. I have too many bills. I have no money left over. You know how you do that? You trust the Lord. You think in your mind, and we'll look at the scripture in just a minute which tells us that. I'm building to it. And I've got to hurry, too. you say, well, I don't have any money left over. Let's turn there. I need to do it right now, so it is the proper time to do it in the message. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This will lay a foundation for the rest of what we say. You want to know how to give in the New Testament and what God says for you as a Christian? You're not in the Old Testament, by the way. And I'm going to say something that may shock you. You are not required to tithe. Oh, well, there's a lot of preachers out there need to hear that. They're ramming it down the people's throat every Sunday. You've got to tithe. You've got to give that 10% of everything. That's required of God. No, it's not. Tithing in the Old Testament was taxes. Now let me tell you what you do got to do. You've got to pay your taxes. Or the man don't come get it. Isn't that right? That's taxes. Taxes. And by the way, it wasn't 10%. It was closer to 29%. And there was actually more on top of that. That was taxes. That was tax that God required the children of Israel to give to carry on the work of their government, which was through the tabernacle and the priests. And I'm going to stop right here and say this, and then I'll mention this again further as we go along. No sin offering that was offered, or thanksgiving offering that was given in the Old Testament was ever required of any man. Every tithe, which was 10%, that was given to the Lord for the sin offering or that was given as a thanksgiving offering, a wave, or what they call a heave offering, it was never required. It was a free will offering. God does not place upon you any obligation, any requirement to give a free will offering unto Him. In the Old Testament or in the New Testament. Again, maybe some preachers will hear this tape later on. They need to hear that. They need to study it and understand it. I have studied it. I know what it says. And over again, it was a free will offering. Now, in the New Testament, it's the same thing. 2 Corinthians, and with the time we've got left, I'm just going to have to catch it, and then we're going to have to pick it up next week. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man, this is the key verse, according to as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And notice verse 8. And God is able, by the way, to return and to respond to the giver that gives cheerfully because of what he purposes in his heart to give, is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let me say it a different way. This is the Abrams translation. By the way, it's accurate. This is exactly what the Greek text says. As the same, it's just reworded a little bit. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and in all times, having all you need, you will abound to every good work. That is the gist of what that verse is saying. If you will purpose in his heart. So how much are you to give to the Lord? How much are you to give? Well, you can't give more than you have, can you? Nobody can give more than what you have. So, and this is a principle that I believe applies. The Bible tells us over and over again, we are to bring the first fruits unto the Lord. That was taught all the way through the Old Testament. It's taught in the New Testament. So what is the first fruits? When you get your paycheck, or you get your income, whatever it might be, when you receive it, now I know many times taxes and all that stuff have been taken out of it. Now we're talking about the net, not the gross, okay? But it's what you actually have given. The first thing you do is write your tithe, your offering, what you purpose in your heart to give to the Lord. You write it right then. And you set your check aside. There's plenty of envelopes back there. You take your envelope, you put your check in the envelope, and you put it in your pocket, put it in your Bible so that you can bring it Sunday morning when you come to church. And then you take the rest of it and you pay your bills. Say, well, I may not have enough money to pay my bills. Let me challenge you about something. I know what I'm talking about. I have been living this way for 40 years. And I could tell you story after story after story. Every one of them verifiable and every one of them absolutely true. My wife and I years ago started that procedure. We started doing that. We purposed in our heart. And we have steadily increased our giving over the years. And let me tell you something. There has never been in 40 years a bill that we were not able to pay. Oh, you say, boy, that's wonderful. I'm going to start doing that tomorrow. Well, the reason we gave was not to pay our bills. The reason we gave is because we're Christians and we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we're thankful in our heart for Him for forgiving us of our sins and giving us eternal life. And I want to do what God wants me to do and I want to trust in Him. So I'm going to give and give generously so that I will know that what we have, it came from God. And I can assure you today without any question at all, saying this before Almighty God who hears my words right now. I'm not lying to you. I am telling you God's truth. You obey God. You be faithful to Him. He will be faithful to you. If you want to give, you want to sow sparingly, if you purpose in your heart, then you will expect to get a sparing return. In other words, God's provision for you will be sparingly. You want to give generously, then God will generously take care of you and bountifully. Now, bountifully does not mean that God's going to give you $1 million and you're going to be rich. But my wife and I have never been rich. And if you look back at the things, you know what? These old cars that we had always ran. We were always able to keep them going. There was always food on the table. We lived in a big, nice, beautiful house. But we lived in a decent house. The nicest house I ever owned was the first house I had that I sold when I went to Bible college. The next house that was nicest was the one we had over here on 800 South, right over 2 blocks from here. That was a really nice house. We sold that too. Now I live on the fifth wheel. And two little bit of the house. I was looking at the fifth wheel this morning. You know, that thing has oak cabinets in it. I've never lived in a house with oak cabinets in it. It's a nice trailer, you know. And it's comfortable, too. God makes His provision for His people. I can tell you that. I can absolutely tell you. God knows our hearts. I don't have any time, and I'll labor this just a little bit. Our money has increased just a little bit. Guess what happens? You know what Carolyn says? Carolyn says, come on, we've got a little bit of increase here. What we do? Do you think we need to give more? Well, she knows already the answer to that. She said, do you think we need to give this? And I always say yes, or I tell her more. And that's what we've done all these years. I've been in Utah 26 years. You went back and checked the records of every church we've ever been in, you will find that out for me. I can prove it. There were times when we gave, I hate saying this, maybe I ought not to, as much as a third or more of what we had, what we did. Carolyn, have we ever wanted anything? Have we been able to help many, many people? There are churches that existed based upon what God gave us, and we turned it around. You know the song, Lord, make me a channel of blessings? That's gone. God was able to use us as a channel to use the money that we were given. I can tell you so many stories. You, and they say God gave us things that God gave in our life. Never had, never once. They were how to deal with it. We've never been sitting down to a table where there were an apple and an iron figure and we had to play it out about Mercedes Benz and Lexus and all the big cars and Jeter, that's fine. If you got the money to go out and go back, we'll be on that. So I just pour on all the dogs and I can't on my home Cadillacs. How about
Escalade.
Escalade. Anyway. The reason I'm saying that, I want you to think that you can get rich again and you're going to get what God will do. And that's His promise. He'll provide for you. I'm sure He will. But you can get on and say, be rich in the Lord. In all things put Christ first, that He might have, Colossians 1:18, that He might have the preeminence, that He deserves our money. And of course, everything falls in line. But when you don't put in first, don't beg. It's God's provision. The government is struggling year after year after year. God is willing and wanting to bless them and to take care of the system of all people and what their bank account and what they don't have. And looking at what they don't have, well, I don't have it, so God can't bless me. Please. I hope you understand with all my heart that what I am teaching and through this and preach, I love the Lord and I love you. You may not understand that, but I love you and I care for you. Because Almighty God has loved me and cared for me. And Him will be in this position.
column of vegetables, just pickle that box and eat it possible. First, spiritually, does it grow over? Financially, which God needs to meet. So bless me, let God bless you. Okay. Let's pray all over the right here. Turn the message in our hands. Give these things. If these things be so, you've got a Bible. You can read it. You can check. The Lord, as we dismiss ourselves now, pray, help us to understand this vital core of our maturity and growing in you. Our obedience in the area of giving. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you. Give us to you and show our gratitude, our lives, by how we interact with one another. All of these things collectively are to you. Because that draws other people to Christ. You may experience the joy of praying this invitation.
Number 249. Let's all stand.
That might be a little patient.